Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, hour number two today, Monday, October the 26th, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour, 1 week away from the big, well, let's say 8 days away from the big presidential election coming up next Tuesday. Local elections as well. And we here at WWGH Radio will have live election coverage starting at 7:10 p.m. on November the 3rd, and we will go until we have, usually we would say the final results, but I don't really know how this year is going to work, to be honest. So we will go until we have results. That's how we're going to say that. We will see where we are when the Board of Elections goes home that night. I guess we'll go home and we'll see how this is all going to be done this year. I really still don't know how it's all going to be done because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Because I understand people are mailing in their ballot, and I understand a lot of people are early voting, but I think that as soon as the polls close on Tuesday, that they're allowed to run all the early voting. Now, obviously, there will be a lot more early voting this time than there ever has been before, but everything that's come in the mail, and everybody who's dropped something off in the box, and everybody who's been up voting early, I think they're allowed to start counting those at 7:30 on election night. And the precincts will all come in, so people who actually wait and vote next Tuesday, all their stuff will come in, so we'll have those results. So really, the only results we won't have on election night are people who, I think, would have sent their mail out, would have sent their ballot out with a postmark before December the 3rd. Or November the 3rd, or on November the 3rd. I think those are the only votes we won't have, and I don't know if that's going to swing an election. I would think more people probably early voted than anything else. Now, I could be wrong about this, but does anybody understand this? Why it's such a confusing thing this year? I know a lot of it has to do with the post office and are the ballots getting there, but you know, a lot of ballots get thrown out too because they weren't marked properly. They're very, very litigious, abide by legal standards when it comes to these ballots. So any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. That's what's going on next Tuesday with the big election day. Now, we'll be here, though. We'll be here. We'll have the whole crew. We'll have somebody down at the Board of Elections. We'll have somebody at Democratic headquarters. We'll have somebody at Republican headquarters. It'll be the seventh year we've done this. A lot of election coverage. And like I say, the unique thing about our election coverage is we do not break away. When we come on the air at 7:15 that night, we will not go off the air until we have some kind of clarification on what's going on, and that will also be presidential. I do want people to know that. Normally, we only cover the local elections here because that's what's important to people, and we will do that. Sheriff, county commissioners, clerk of courts, we'll cover all that here, as well as the levies that are going on in town. But we will cover the presidential election. We have a television here, and we'll have the television in the studio that night. So we'll be watching one of the networks and getting their coverage as well. So if you are wondering about the presidential election, you'll be able to get those results on the station as well next Tuesday night. Now, if you're in Marion, I believe the place that you early vote, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I see it every day, is down here by City Hall. If you go down by City Hall on Center Street, West Center Street here, there's a big sign that says, vote here. And I think this is where we all are voting early. It used to be at the Board of Elections that we would vote early in the county building. But I think they moved it this year because of COVID and because of the large number of people voting early. That's what I think. Now, if I'm wrong about that, somebody tell me. But that's where I think we're at this point. 740-383-9944. Now, if you go down here by City Hall and you see the sign that says vote here and you go back there and you're not supposed to vote there, I'm sure they can tell you where you need to go vote. But we've got 8 days to do this. And time is running out. Now, polls are supposed to be open next Tuesday. I have heard nothing to make that not true. So I'm going to vote next Tuesday. Now, here's one of the reasons that I've always done this and why I continue to do this. I have no problem with mail-in ballots or voting early. But the reason I vote in person is because I'm doing a show that night. And I like to see how many people are at the polling places and what's going on. So, you know, I'm interested. So that's why I will go out and vote live next Tuesday. Live and in person, I'll be at the polling place. Go ahead, caller.
You're absolutely right. That's where you go vote early.
So if you live in the county anywhere, that's where you go?
As far as I know, it is. That's where my husband and I went.
Now,
it's the old, well, used to be Eber Baker, and then it turned into, when they tore the school down, turned into the rec building.
Oh, the old rec center over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it's all going down at.
That's what's going on. And they were, the people inside, the workers, very helpful, very easy process, didn't take us long at all.
Do you, because we're all trying to figure this out, because election night coverage is certainly going to be different, and they keep saying it's going to be days and blah, 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 but am I wrong about this? When you vote early, they can't look at the ballots until the polls close.
That I don't know, but again, I don't know how they're going to tell that election night, because of what you're saying, people are sending in their, you know, they're mailing in their ballots, and if it's not a, you can't decide who wins until everybody's counted, because, you know, one vote matters.
Well, it's my understanding that, you know, a lot of the votes have already come in. Now, I don't think they can look at them or open them until election, when the polls close. I know that, I'm pretty sure that's a rule. They can't look at the early voting, they can't look at the mail-in voting, but they can hold it there. So as soon as the polls close, and I believe they close at 7:30 on here in Marion, on election night, as soon as they close, they can start feeding those into the system. So the only vote, and we'll obviously have all the precinct people who vote in person that day, they'll all come in that day as well.
Right.
So we should have all the early voting. If you went up to the rec center, we should have everybody who's mailed something in that came by November 3rd. We should have everybody who votes in person that day. The only thing we wouldn't have is if you mailed it, but it was postmarked by November 3rd, but it won't get there till the 5th or the 6th, which that's not, but I don't think that's going to be a huge population. And
you don't think so?
That group, no, because I think what most people are doing is voting early, and they'll have those, and I think in-person voting early.
Yeah.
And they'll have the, and I think a lot of people will vote election day because they just didn't bother to do it any other time.
Uh-huh.
And they'll have those. So I think and plus they will have the mail-in ballots. If you mailed in your ballot 2 weeks ago, they'll have it that night.
True.
Yeah.
But if you mail it in election day, then, I mean, all those ballots have to be counted too.
Right. Those would be the only ones. And I'm guessing that that group is probably maybe 5% of... Because in an election year, it's high voter turnout.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing so much from people that they've already voted. Well, if you've already voted now, whether you mailed it or did it in person early, they'll have it election night. So,
but how can they have a decision made?
I don't think anybody will declare a victory, but I'm trying to think. It seems to me that the last presidential year, for some reason this number's sticking out in my head, and somebody can check me on this, but I think we had like 16,000 people who voted in Marion County, which is a high number.
Uh-huh.
I think it was something like that. Now, I could be way off, but it was something like, it was a big number. So when it's not like a city council year. So when you have a big number like that, if only 5% of the votes have not shown up, unless you've got a really, really, really tight race, it's
true,
not going to mean anything. And presidentially, nobody will declare victory that night, I don't think. But I mean, you know, if one of the candidates is leading in eight of the states that we're leading by a good margin, we're going to have a pretty good idea where that's going.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think that's what'll happen. The only thing I don't know about is how long are the workers at the Board of Elections going to stay that night? I don't know if they're allowed to go home. You know, they take an oath. I don't know how that's going to work.
You need to get somebody from the Board of Elections on.
Well, you know, I've talked to them. We've been conversing, and I don't think they know is the problem.
Ah.
Because I've been talking to them, and what they have told me so far is they plan to release numbers every hour.
Okay.
But I don't know if they're bringing in reinforcements. I don't know what they're doing that day. But I also know that if you do... See, the mail-in ballot's very tough, too, because if you accidentally mark something, they throw the whole ballot out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just...
It's going to be an interesting year.
Well, it's going to be fun. You know, I was talking to the people because we're getting ready to do the coverage next Tuesday night. And they were saying, well, you know, this is going to be very difficult because we're probably not going to know who the winners are. And I said, well, I don't know about that. And number two, if it is that, I mean, gee whiz, how interesting is that going to be to try to feel our way through this, because they're going to be feeling their way through this for the first time.
It is. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. and we don't break away. We go from... We will go until they stop counting votes, until we get the final word that they have either stopped counting votes or whatever the situation may be at the Board of Elections, which I think it's going to be tough for them, because normally in a presidential year, if you have a lot of votes, you stay all night and maybe you come in late the next day, but if you've got a whole nother truck of mail-in votes coming the next day, I don't think you can sleep in the next day. So it's very tricky.
It is tricky. Well, I agree.
Well, we will see how it shakes out, that's for sure.
I'll be listening.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, don't miss our election coverage. And I'll tell you something, election coverage is interesting because we clearly will not know exactly what's going on. So you just have to stick with us that night. Now, the hours to vote early. Does anybody know about the hours to vote early here in Marion? Apparently, we all vote early vote in what was the old rec center. Up here on, I guess it's considered Church Street, probably a Church Street address. But if you're coming down Center Street, you'll see a sign right next to City Hall. Just follow the signs, and it'll get you right over there. But do we know the hours that you can early vote? give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you know anything about early voting in general. Now, one thing I would like to say is this past weekend when I was up in Cleveland, I was shocked because I drove into Cleveland. It was probably about noon, 12:30-ish on Saturday. And there was all this traffic and police officers and so on and so forth. And I thought, well, my gosh, there must be an accident down here. And as I turned down the street, I could see people lined up probably, oh, I don't even want to guess on the feet, probably a football field long. People lined up. And where were they at? What were they doing? They were voting early. They were voting early. And this is the weekend before the election, or the 2 weekends before the election, because we've still got next weekend. So the people are voting. People are voting. Make no mistake about it. They certainly were in Cleveland this past weekend. And it was a very positive atmosphere. There was music on outside. There were people with their vote t-shirts on. There were people who were backing certain candidates that were out there. It was a very unique experience to see all these people turning out to vote. So it is happening, and I think it's happening all over the country at this particular point. Now, I'm getting a message here online. Did we get the early voting schedule? I think they found the early voting schedule, but I'm not sure what it is. Does anybody know what the early voting schedule is? Oh, here it is. I'm getting a screenshot now. Okay, well, we're already through these dates. Let's see where we are now. We are at October 26th. So, early voting this week, October 26th through the 30th, Monday through Friday this week, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. you can vote. 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday, 1 to 5. And next Monday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So those are your early voting hours leading up to the election next Tuesday. So this week, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Sunday, 1 to 5, and next Monday, 8 a.m. until 2 p.m., and then Tuesday, you still can vote in person, is my understanding. So that's the way it goes at this particular point. How about that? Have people voted early? Are there a lot of people up at the rec center? I don't know. Are a lot of people turning out? Which is what is fascinating about this whole thing is where is the biggest group going to be? Is it going to be the people who voted early? Is it going to be the people who show up on election day to vote? Is it going to be the people who are mailing in their ballots? I don't know. But those hours were posted on the official website. So there you go. You can vote this week. Vote early. The old rec center here in Marion, up on Church Street. But if you are interested in following the signs, go down Center Street and you'll see a sign, vote here, right next to City Hall, and it will lead you to that particular area. Now, before I start talking about the trip to Cleveland this past weekend in great detail, I want to tell you about what happened to me on Saturday night. Apparently, now again, I have to say apparently because I still really don't know what happened, but two of my friends apparently got together impromptu on Saturday night. Now, I'm not really sure why they got together. I don't know, blowing off steam maybe. I don't know if there was a tragedy. I don't know if there was just a happiness. I don't know what was going on, but they got together. And they invited me to come with them, but I was not around on Saturday to do this. And I still really don't know what happened on Saturday, but apparently had I attended, there would have been some good stories to bring back here and tell you, the listeners. Also, one of the people, interestingly enough, sent me a message yesterday saying that it maybe was a good thing that I did not attend. So I'm still not really sure what happened on Saturday night. I don't know. You know, I'm okay with people blowing off steam. I think that's perfectly fine. But what happened Saturday night at this particular point, I really don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out before Halloween. I bet it's a Halloween story, because I bet it would scare you, is the story behind that. All right, let's get into the trip to Cleveland on Saturday. This past Saturday, took a trip to Cleveland to visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I had never been to, by the way. This is an interesting year for me, because back in February, I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, which I had never been to, and I had never visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is right here in Ohio. So I've done both of them now. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is such a unique place. First thing I want to say is how nice the people were there. The people could not have been nicer. You know, it's tough during COVID to wear the masks and sanitize and stay away from everything, and it changes how you can get food at the snack bar and all that. But still a very fun, worthwhile trip. Now, there are 6 floors to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And there's a movie theater you can go in and see a little movie about people being inducted into the Hall of Fame. There's a Hall of Fame room that has everybody's signature who's been inducted and all the names of people who've been inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But on level 0, which is below the first floor, I guess they call it level 0 instead of calling it the basement. There, it to me, is the best part of the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's where they keep all the clothes, all the instruments, well, 90%, because there is some stuff on other floors, but 90% of the clothes, the instruments, the even cars, in some cases, motorcycles that people have donated are on this bottom level. And it's pretty much a who's who in the rock and roll world. Everybody has donated something, and it's just unbelievable. I mean, there's a whole room dedicated to Elvis, with a motorcycle he had, with a big Elvis sign, with an Elvis costume suit that he had worn, glittery suit. There's a whole section for the Beatles, the pianos and shirts and things that they wore. John Lennon's guitar is there. Paul McCartney's guitar is there. And then so many other gigantic names in the world of rock and roll. James Brown has suits that he wore on stage there. Michael Jackson has an amazing exhibit, has a glove. You know, Michael Jackson was famous for the gloves. The glove is there. The jacket that he wore, the glittery jacket that he was famous for, that made him look kind of like a captain is what he was going for. It's there. B.B. King, I love this. One of B.B. King's jackets was there. Chuck Berry's guitar is there. Just 1,000 names and more than I could. Little Richard has a jacket there. A lot of guitars that were used by a lot of different people. Eddie Van Halen, who died, I believe, last week, he had stuff there. Just an unbelievable place. Billy Joel had a section. Elton John has a section. And I'm forgetting a lot of other people. But it was so incredible to walk through that portion of the museum, because here's the stuff. Oh, Lady Gaga, for people of current times, her stuff was there, an outfit and a hat from Lady Gaga. Adam Lambert, who I hear is a big deal, he had stuff there. And I'm forgetting tons and tons and tons of names here. Whitney Houston had a section there. just anybody you could think of had a section, and it was unbelievable. Jimi Hendrix has a whole area there. It's so colorful because people of that era were so colorful. It's so colorful and so authentic and so genuine. I was just unbelievably impressed with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. And I posted a few pictures, but you cannot do it justice. Johnny Cash's tour bus is parked out front. Justice cannot be done until you go there. And the building structure itself is something very cool. It's triangular. And it's right on Lake Erie, and it's so interesting because the building is glass. It's just unbelievable, and if you don't see it, you're really missing out. That's a tremendous place to go, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and my knowledge of rock and roll as a whole, Buddy Holly's guitar is there. My knowledge of rock and roll as a whole, Jerry Lee Lewis's piano. Is not gigantic, but this structure, this venue, and everything in it is well worth your time. But you better make plans to stay for a while because there's a lot to see, an awful lot to see. A letter from Tupac Shakur, that was popular for people. Just anything. Okay, and I'm leaving off a lot of people without question here. Aretha Franklin. So, that's the museum. Now, while we were there, very kindly, I had set up an interview, and this is the link to President Harding. I had set up an interview while I was in Cleveland with a gentleman who lives in that area. His name is Craig Shermer. The gentleman's name is Craig Shermer. Now, this is very interesting. Craig Shermer, for many, many years now, like 45 years, something like that, has been the foremost impersonator of Florence Harding. Now, you heard me right. It's a man. But it's a man dressed like a woman. Now, this is what I want to say about this. I know what you're thinking when I say that. But I had two people in the room with me. I had one person who was running sound and running video, and I had one person who was doing photography while I'm interviewing Craig as Florence Harding. They both said, so this is not just from my opinion, that this looked like a woman, that you would not be able to tell this was a man. And you couldn't. And the interesting thing about it was, before we did the interview, Craig said to me, do you want to interview me first, or do you want to interview Florence Harding? So the interview that I did with Florence Harding is with Florence Harding. We do not say that it's Craig Shermer. He did not want to do it that way. It was with Florence Harding. And I asked everything. You know how I am. Nosy and gossipy. I asked everything under the sun. I asked about murdering her husband. I asked about the affairs. I asked about the child out of wedlock. I asked about her first marriage. I asked about her father. I asked about her son that she didn't have a very good relationship with. And Craig, who I really don't even like to call an impersonator because I don't really believe that's what he is. I think he's an actor. Answers is Florence Harding. And you'll have to hear it. I have the interview in its entirety, and I will play it. That's one of the things we will do for the 100th anniversary of President Harding. But if you want to see pictures of Craig Shermer as Florence Harding, you can go to my Facebook page. They're the top two pictures right now. There's one picture of me just standing with him, and then there's one picture of me actually interviewing him. Now, the cool thing about this was that we got to do this. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland has a Sirius XM radio studio that they call the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Studio. And we got to do it in there with very professional equipment. And so I haven't got to hear it yet because I haven't got a copy, but I expect the sound to be tremendous. and I expect the video to be tremendous. And we'll get some of the video up on YouTube or something before next Monday. But it was just an unbelievable experience. Being in that studio was an unbelievable experience. What a studio. And again, we thank the people of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for that, for being so tremendously gracious as they were to let us do that. So thank you, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for letting us use that studio. But this interview with Craig Shermer as Florence Harding, holy moly, wait till you hear this thing. Now, and Craig has an interesting voice. And you'll also have to hear that. And I don't know if it's what Florence Harding would have sounded like. I don't know if we have any audio of what Florence Harding sounded like. But when you hear this, I think you'll be blown away a little bit. So I'm not exactly sure when this is going to air. We'll air it as a special, but definitely before next Monday, or maybe on next Monday. I'm not sure yet. But Florence, Craig Shermer is Florence Harding, interview taped over the weekend at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Get ready for that. And I thank the people at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for that. Now, another place, well, we went past Progressive Field, where the Cleveland Indians play, and we also went by the Browns Stadium, where the Browns sometimes play, sometimes just show up, but regardless, they're there. We went by that stadium. All those things are right there together in Cleveland, pretty close together, within pretty close proximity. So we visited those, and then did something fun that I have never really done. Now, how many of you are fans of the movie A Christmas Story? Now, A Christmas Story is the movie that was made in the early 80s. It's about little Ralphie, and, you know, he gets the Red Ryder BB gun, and you know the rest. The big Christmas Story movie. Well, I don't know how many people know this, but the movie was, well, some of the exterior shots of that movie were done in Cleveland, Ohio, including the house that Ralphie and his family lived in, and also the neighbors, who I believe were called the Bumpuses' house. Those are Cleveland, Ohio homes in a neighborhood. And now they are historical landmarks because of the movie A Christmas Story about 40 years ago was made. So we went over after we were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and went over to the Christmas Story house. And what a cool place that is. Because first of all, the outside of the house looks just like the movie. And probably the most famous, other than the Red Ryder BB gun, piece of memorabilia from that movie is the leg lamp. It's the lady's leg lamp. We all know what that is. And the lady's leg lamp is in the window of the Christmas Story house. So you certainly know where you are. And the house is decorated with some Christmas lights, which is kind of cool to see in late October. So went over there, and I put a picture of that up on the Facebook page, which, by the way, that doesn't do that justice either. But if you look at this, you will be, I think, thrown back into a different time because so many people have liked that picture and enjoyed that picture, and it's a very unique thing. Just a very, very, very unique thing that I hope you get a lot of enjoyment out of, that I got a lot of enjoyment out of on Saturday night, and I think a lot of other people who have visited there over the years got a lot of enjoyment out. So the Christmas Story house in Cleveland. So, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Christmas Story House, and the interview in the Sirius XM studios with Craig Shermer, Florence Harding, is what we did this past Saturday. And it was a lot of fun. So another trip in the books. Now, has anybody else been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that want to share their experiences, or the Christmas Story House, or any of these places in Cleveland? I think they're all really magnificent places. And Cleveland is so close by, just 2 hours away, right up the right up the highway there. And not very difficult to get there. You know what surprised me as well when I was in Cleveland? Not a lot of traffic. Not a lot of traffic. We were there on a Saturday night. Saturday day and Saturday night. And traffic was not bad coming in or going out. Now, is that because of the pandemic? I don't know, but I'm noticing that a lot of different places. Over the last 4 weeks, I've been to Put-in Bay, I've been to Upper Sandusky, I've been to Lima, I've been to Cleveland, and what I've noticed is there doesn't seem to be a lot of traffic anywhere. There doesn't seem to be it's just different. I don't know what is causing that. Go ahead, caller.
Kind of interesting to hear your stories of your trip to Cleveland. But a few years ago, I visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and there were a lot of interesting things to see. But probably one of the most memorable to me was the glass staircase. You're going up the stairs, and the whole staircase is glass. And it almost feels like you're floating, and it gives you kind of a strange feeling, I thought. But it was very interesting. And like I said, my thing I remember the most is that glass staircase.
That's interesting. You know, what I thought was great about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm sure this was a conscious effort, is there's escalators and elevators, because I saw people in wheelchairs who were getting to enjoy this venue. There were a lot of venues that didn't think ahead for people like that.
Yes.
What was your favorite exhibit? Do you remember what your favorite exhibit was?
I guess the Beatles, seeing the Beatles things, I guess.
The Beatles stuff was great, but you know, I loved, and I'm not I am not into soul music or anything of that nature, but B.B. King was such a fixture for so long, and he had such a unique jacket, and he was such a big man, that seeing his jacket hanging there, I thought that was tremendous.
A lot of good exhibits there, very interesting.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Have a good day, thank you. Uh-huh. And I'm interested to see Florence Harding.
Oh, my goodness. Do you have Facebook? Because, this is something.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can friend me on Facebook, if you already haven't, you will see a picture of me with him, her, interviewing her. And, like I said, it's strange to say, because it sounds silly if you say it, that this was a man, you know, dressed as a woman. If you didn't know that was a man, I don't think you would get it.
Have you locally met retired school teacher Jan Augenstein? She does Florence Harding impersonations, too, around the Marion area.
Yes, you know, I have met Jan. A matter of fact, I went to the dinner with the presidents, I think, 2 years ago, and I was with her and the gentleman who does Harding. And the gentleman who does Harding here locally is tremendous. He looks like President Harding, and he sounds... Do you know what his name is?
Scott Rankin.
He is tremendous. And what's sad about this whole thing? I talked to Scott because of the anniversary coming up, and because of his age, and because of his... I don't know what his health issues are. I'm not a close friend of his. But we did talk on the phone because the anniversary is coming up, and he's worried about doing anything right now because of COVID. So I don't think we're going to see him doing anything in the next week, which is kind of sad because he's really, really good. I've never seen a better President Harding impersonator. But, and I'm not saying Jan Augenstein is bad, but Craig Shermer, my goodness, does he have this woman down. But I guess after doing it for 45 years, I guess you get it down.
They do a lot of studying and a lot of background historical work, too, when they do those, but very interesting.
Yeah, well, and the interview, as Florence, I mean, he did not want me to introduce him as Craig. It was, I'm here with Mrs. Harding, and let's go ahead, and, answers it. I'll tell you, here's just a little sample. I'll give you a little sample. When I was talking to Craig, because I did 49 minutes with him as Mrs. Harding, and then I did 20 minutes with him as Craig, kind of describing how he does this. And when I was talking to him, I said, how do you answer? Because he didn't know what I was going to ask. How do you answer as Florence Harding? And he said what has helped him more than anything is a few years ago, he went to a garage sale, I think he said, and for some, out of luck alone, he found all this paperwork and her diary.
And so he read her firsthand thoughts. Because there, I don't think there is any audio of her. He read her firsthand thoughts. So he not only knows what was reported about her, he knows what she wrote. He knows what she thought. And I'm not sure if a whole lot of the impersonators know that.
Right.
So it's very interesting. And his voice is very interesting. So you'll have to... Yeah, I'll let people know. When I'm not sure if we're going to air it in the morning next Monday. I'm not sure if we're going to do it as a special. But I'll definitely let people know beforehand how we're going to do that.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much. And you have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, phone lines are open. Any thoughts on that or the whole Florence Harding thing? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Just give me a buzz, and we can talk about whatever's on your mind. We got about 4 minutes left in the program today. It can be early voting. It can be Election Day. It can be anything about Cleveland. Have you been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Have you been to the Christmas Story House? You know, I was surprised how the Christmas Story House is getting so much attention on Facebook as far as the pictures that I've posted go. People really love this Christmas Story House. And you know, I guess it's just from people's childhood. And I think also it's, it signifies Christmas, and that's important for people as well. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is just fascinating. And I am not a music person. I'm not a music aficionado by any stretch of the imagination, but I certainly know who Chuck Berry is. I certainly know who Elvis Presley is. I certainly know who the Beatles are. I know who Jerry Lee Lewis is. I know John Lennon. I know Paul McCartney. I know Lady Gaga. And to see their stuff all centralized in one location like that is very worthwhile. And the studio where I was able to interview Craig, if you get on Facebook and can see this studio, this Sirius XM studio at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So give me a buzz here if you have any thoughts. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, you may have seen Craig Shermer do Florence Harding. I don't know. He's been doing it for 45 years all around Ohio. I don't think there'd probably be much call for it outside of Ohio, but certainly been doing it around the Ohio area. And I don't know if there's ever been an interview like the one we did. And there is some video of it. So normally in radio, we don't do the video portion, but we did in this particular case because it was so visual, dressed up as Florence Harding, this gentleman. So there's that. So there will be some video posted online of the interview as well. So it's not just going to be audio, it'll be video. Obviously, we can't show you video on the air, but I'll let you know how to find the video if you want to watch some of it. We're not going to put the whole video. I think the whole interview was videoed, but we're not going to put that all online, but we'll put some striking portions of it online so you can kind of see the movements and the action of Mr. Shermer from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame radio studios, Sirius XM at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I believe the interview with Florence ran 49 minutes. That's what I think I was told by the engineer up in Cleveland, that it was about 49 minutes long. So somehow we'll have to play around with that to get it to around 45 minutes, but we'll get it to you in the next week because next Monday is the anniversary, November 2nd, 2020, 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected President of the United States. And I'm sure we will talk to other people as well. You know what? I think we're out of time today. Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp coming up after this program today from 10 a.m. until 11 a.m. There's a special Voice of a People this morning with Linda Sims from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Then Voice of a People at its regular time, 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m. And then the Mike Wilson Show today, 5:10 p.m. to 6 p.m. And don't forget, we have election coverage next Tuesday starting at 7:10 p.m. and will not go off until it's all over. And tomorrow morning on this show, we'll have Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler, and we will have Mayor of the City of Marion, Scott Scherzer, will be our guest tomorrow. I believe first interview he's done since the end of quarantine. He was in a two-week quarantine that I think ended late last week. So that all will happen tomorrow on this program. Stay tuned to this station for much more.
Flies. I mean, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change, change, change. That's what it's time for, Scott. You know it. Terry Tackett knows it. Scott Anthony knows it. Brianna knows it. It's time for a change. Not just in the house. I'm talking about...